It sounds like a very superficial goal, but I want to be competitive until I'm 70 with grandkids.
Welcome to Crazy Smart Asia, the unexpected stories of Asia's disruptors. I'm your host, Chong Xiaowei. Every week, we talk with a young leader about the crazy smart approaches they're taking to achieve success and tackle some of the biggest issues facing Asia today. Powerlifting isn't a sport that women typically just fall into, let alone when they're 24. But that's exactly what Farhana Farid did. Before going pro, she casually deadlifted more than the national record with no prior experience at the gym one day. This prompted her husband and friends who saw her do it to encourage her to hire a coach and get training to compete. In time, the Singaporean powerlifter broke several national records and worked her way up to a 202-kilogram deadlift record set in 2022. But it's not just metal that Farhana is good at moving. She's redefining stereotypes when it comes to strength training, developing a business alongside being a pro athlete, and encouraging people to move their bodies and reap the physical and mental benefits of exercise. The self-confessed stubborn control freak joins me on Crazy Smart Asia to share about the moment on the gym floor that changed everything, why her ultimate goal is to be a competitive silver lifter at 70, and how the psychological benefits of lifting are empowering women not only in Singapore but around the world. On being not just crazy smart but also crazy strong, here's record-breaking powerlifter Farhana Farid.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So Farhana Farid, we have you on Crazy Smart Asia, a three-time world record-breaking powerlifter. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. So usually when we start off for Crazy Smart Asia, we will ask you a round of quick-fire questions.
Okay.
So do you have a mantra in life?
For shopping, it's buy nice or buy twice, or when in doubt, get both. But for life, it's always show up.
All right. So you're a big fitness buff and a professional athlete. What's your favorite lift or your favorite workout?
I think easily is deadlifts.
Nice. Okay. And what's the best advice you've ever received?
Oh, okay. That's really tricky because I have received quite a number of advice. But I think the number one at the top of my head right now from my coach is know that you've done enough at that moment. So you don't look back and be like, oh, I could have done this more, I could have done that better. But in that moment, you've done everything that you could have done. And I think you should just embrace that and focus on the next step.
I like that. Okay, so before we go into your powerlifting and obviously your journey,
yeah,
let's talk a little bit about growing up.
Okay.
So growing up, what was your childhood like? And what were some of the formative experiences that demonstrate your character and help you shape you as an adult?
Right. So I had a very typical Asian upbringing. My parents were very stern. They were very strict. You know, homework always comes first before play. If you want to achieve something, if you want to be rewarded for something, you had to achieve something first.
Right.
If you got like 90 out of 100, why didn't you get 100? If you get top in math, it's like, why didn't you get top in math and science? You know, so that was me growing up.
Typical Asian parents.
Basically, yeah, exactly. So I had big shoes to fill, but I think I sort of relished in that pressure because so I liked rising to occasions. I liked accepting the challenge. And also I think because I like to either prove myself right or prove them wrong, it's like, oh, you don't think I could do this? Let me just show you, you know? And I think I quite like that pressure, but it's not for everyone. Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I think growing up as the eldest of two other sisters, there was that pressure to lead by example, which could be stressful sometimes because it's always like, oh, you have to do this and that because your sisters are watching you. You know, they will follow everything you do. They will shadow you, basically. And then growing up in an all-girl school was another layer of pressure of sorts to sort of like confine or behave or say certain things in a certain way. And image, I think, was a very big thing growing up. I'm not sure if it's just a an Asian thing. Yeah, it's probably an Asian thing. Yeah, you know, like face and like how you portray yourself is very important growing up.
Many of our listeners are probably nodding their heads, especially if they grew up in yeah. like an Asian household, exactly. right? They would yes. probably be able to relate what you just said.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you've actually said that you are a control freak. What you just mentioned to yeah. me sounds like you're kind of a perfectionist and you thrive in pressure, right?
Yeah.
How else do you think your control freak trait kind of showed up in your life? And have you learned to let go since?
Oh, definitely. I think if anything, powerlifting sort of taught me the importance of controlling what I can control. Mm. And also it was something I learned from my husband, you know, because I think he's usually at the receiving end of me spiraling and like complaining and whining to him and this and that. So he always sort of recenters my focus and tells me that, you know, you can only control what you can control and you sort of leave everything else to sort of take care of themselves. And it is when I focus on the main things that I can focus on, like I feel there's a lower tendency of me spiraling. I don't get so overwhelmed. And it is exactly in powerlifting where there are so many factors that lead up to a moment, be it in competition or in training or the execution of a single rep, for example. You know, it's things like how I'm feeling that day, how strong I'm feeling, how fatigued am I, how's my focus like, what's the environment in the gym like. Right. And all these factors can sort of add up to the outcome of that lift, for example. And there are only so many things that I can control, right? But if I make the most out of that, usually the outcome is desirable.
All right. Yeah. So do you feel like this control freak side of you has kind of helped you push and reach for higher heights opposed to kind of limit you?
Right, right. I believe so. You know, like, I think I do believe, like, to grow, to excel, you do need a certain level of pressure. And I think that chase, that pursuit of perfection, like I have accepted the fact that, you know, I can never be perfect, like let's face it, we've grown enough to learn that. But I think that pursuit, that chase for perfection, sort of puts you on a good trajectory mm. in terms of like standards, quality, and I guess raising your standards and creating even more lofty goals, if you may.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's rewind a little bit.
Okay.
You are a Singaporean national powerlifter who actually hit headlines for setting a deadlift world record.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. So a record of 202 kilograms yeah. in the under 52 kilogram weight category
yeah.
that you achieved at the 2022 Asian Championships in Dubai. So for all our listeners out there who may not have heard about powerlifting, can you share a little bit about what the sport is about?
Sure. So powerlifting, most of the time people confuse it with weightlifting. Mm. So essentially powerlifting, we are still lifting weights, but it is not the Olympic sport, which is weightlifting. Weightlifting, you throw weights over your head, basically. For powerlifting, we're very lazy. We don't do anything over the head. I guess you do have bench press, but then you're lying down, essentially. So powerlifting consists of three main lifts. There's squat, bench press, and deadlift. And when it comes to competition, basically you get three attempts for each lift, and they basically take the total of your highest, most successful lift.
And what was the aha moment when you realized that you really like this sport, or you're obsessed with it?
You know, I think it didn't like hit me, but it sort of crept on to me, and I realized it was a point of no return. So I think it was probably that eventful day where I was with the boys, and this was probably back in 2017 or something. This was before I took on powerlifting proper. And prior to that, I was just lifting weights with my boyfriend and husband now, instead of just shadowing him around the gym, joining him with his bro splits. You know, if it's arms day, back day, I'll just basically mirror him. And then the boys decided to have like a mock meet, and they wanted to see what was the heaviest that they could lift for squat, bench, and deadlift. So I was like, okay, you know what? As per usual, I get sucked into things. I'm like, okay, let me just join you guys. And then when I got around to the deadlifts, I think we loaded something like 120 kilos. I was like, okay, this looks still, you know, pretty easy. Let's try 130 kilos. Like, oh, okay, that moved pretty well. Let's try 140 kilos. And then I lifted it. And then my husband was like, you know what? this is obscenely heavy for someone who has just sort of started and you've not like been formally trained. And so he decided to look up the national records for powerlifting back then. And the national record was something like 125 or something.
Wow.
So like, you just casually lifted.
You just smashed it.
Yeah. He was like, you know what, do you want to try competing? Like, you don't have to win. You can just break a record and then you can say, you know, like you've broken a record. And I was like, you know what? I'm curious to see how far I could go with this. The thought was a bit unnerving. It was a bit of a joke at first, but I figured I had nothing to lose, and I got increasingly curious to see how far I could go with this. And then thereafter, I signed up for my first competition in 2018, and I guess the rest has been history.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you smashed a world record without even actually putting in much.
Oh, it was a national record.
It was still a national record.
Yeah, it's still like small beans, like low-lying fruits.
That's crazy, right? You didn't realize it and you actually smashed it.
Yeah, you know what? I think sometimes it takes another person to recognize your own potential.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I would have like gone into it if not for my partner then. Like, stepping into the gym, I was that girl who would gravitate towards the cardio machines, you know, like things I was familiar with, like the bars, the racks, the platform was uncharted territory, and it was super intimidating. So if not for him dragging me and guiding me, I don't think I would have gone down that path.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're painting a very, almost like a breezy journey to success, right? But I'm sure you've experienced your own challenges, your own setbacks, maybe even failures or mistakes along the way.
Yeah.
Was there one particular setback that really made you think, oh my God, I can't do this anymore?
You know what? Like, it has been a very rewarding experience. And I got into powerlifting, I would say, at a very good timing where things weren't as competitive as it is now. So those winning records were relatively low-lying fruits back then. But then standards are getting higher and higher, and things are getting crazier. Like, Titans just emerged from COVID, right? Suddenly everyone training from their basement just kind of like emerged and like, where were you guys from all this while? Yeah. But I think it was my injury back in 2022. It was a back injury that I was nursing that kind of rattled me. And because I had never gotten any major injuries prior to that, so it was bad because it was to a point where I couldn't walk, I couldn't sit, I couldn't stand, I couldn't put on my socks, I couldn't sneeze, lift my leg, or even twist or pivot without any pain. And that was 2 months out from a world championship where I needed to sort of take back a record that had already been broken. So I broke a world record, and then let me think about that again. Oh my God, everything is just sort of bleeding in together. Yeah, but basically it was a big competition because someone had already broken a record that was mine, and I needed to sort of take it back. And so a lot of things was piled onto that moment, and I was 2 months out and I had that injury and I couldn't really walk properly. And I was like, you know what, can I even compete? Can I even take that world record back? And am I, you know, cut out for this? Because I had never faced or nursed such a back injury. But then I think it was during that moment which showed me what I was actually capable of, you know, and that I was able to not only overcome that, but I think get even stronger, not so much physically, but I guess mentally. And having seen my capabilities to tap into my mental psyche side of things during comp day kind of showed me like, oh wow, you know, I have another gear that I can tap into now. And I don't think I would have had that experience if not for the injury. So
maybe we can talk a little bit more about that back injury. How did it actually happen? And what was the first thought that went through your mind when it happened and you knew that you were injured?
So it was weird because it wasn't like, it didn't exactly happen when I was training. So it wasn't like, oh shoot, I think something popped, or like, oh no, you know, I tweaked something. It was actually on a deload week where I was sort of cruising on 60% intensity. I was taking things nice and easy. And then it was when I got back home and I was sitting on the couch, and then suddenly when I got up and I was like, what is this immense pain? It was like someone just tasered me through my spine.
Yikes.
And you literally get winded from that, right? Because it's like, what is this shock coming? Yeah, where is it coming from? So it was a bit of a, I think it was an accumulation of muscle tightness, weaknesses, and me not taking my warm-ups seriously, maybe. And, you know, because it was like a 60% intensity week, I might have underestimated the weights and sort of like not dialed in my focus with regards to my form and technique. And that actually caused that to happen. And because it was such a chill week, like, I was very surprised from that. And I was completely not prepared for it. And it was just sort of easy to be like, okay, is this the moment where I sort of pull the plugs and pull out from championship and sort of cut my losses? Is it worth it? You know, I have to go through like maybe 3-4 weeks of rehab, and then I need to build up for just another 4 weeks. Like, can I even get to that level? So it was frustrating because it was a tricky dance of like pushing enough to get me to being competition ready, but holding back enough to make sure that I don't trigger this again. So it was frustrating, I think, mentally more than physically.
And how has that changed your workout routine or your warm-up routine now? It changed the way you
approach
exercise?
A lot. Like, I think I warm up like an 80-year-old now. Like, I always warn the younger kids, like, don't underestimate your warm-ups now. And so, like, my pre-activation lifts, my stretches, my releases, you know, with the foam roller and everything, like, those are non-negotiables now. Like, last time I would just like rock up to the gym and like, okay, let's hit to the bar immediately, you know, and then basically just get things done ASAP. But now I think I'm just more mindful about my body's reactions to my movements.
Yeah.
And that pre-lift, that 10 minutes are completely non-negotiable, like warming up, taking my time, listening to my body. And if it's not ready, I'll take an even longer warm-up until it is fully ready instead of like forcing down training on it. And what's good about my own training program and my coach is that he sort of tailors my program around me and my body. So say, for example, if it's not feeling good, I can auto-regulate and I can change things up or down when I want to. So I think that's what's keeping things sustainable for now.
Okay, so the next question is actually, you've publicly said that powerlifting is not just about brute strength, right? And I think you addressed this a little bit.
Yeah.
But there is also grace, there is poise, and there is so much empowerment to be had.
Yeah.
So I'm quoting you exactly. You can be the woman that you truly want to be.
Yeah.
And the power that you possess perhaps comes from all that you have held in over the years.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that quote? And do you think there has been a shift going on in terms of the rising popularity of women strength training and lifting?
Definitely. I think it's really easy to see, especially on social media, for example, you know, lifting weights, going to the gym has become quote unquote trendy. So I think with the help of social media, there has been a mindset shift towards accepting women lifting weights. Back then, when I first started, I think it was very rare to see women, you know, at the weights section, be it with the dumbbells or the barbells or on the platform on the racks. Most of us are found at the cardio section,
right?
You know, and now there'll be days where I actually just stand at the corner of the gym and I'm beaming because the entire weight area with the racks and the platform and everything is all occupied by women, and like, oh, where are the men today? You know, but it's so nice to see that. So there has been a shift, and especially I think in Asia, basically where we're known to be a little more conservative and we're known to, I guess, prioritize our female roles and functions, and doing recreational things like lifting weights were not, you know, it was not in the equation back then for us. But now it's being celebrated, and I think seeing women identify and acknowledge that they can do this and that or this and everything else that they want to be, they can be, you know, supportive moms, daughters, wives, but at the same time they want to do something for themselves is perfectly fine as well. And I guess that's what I'm trying to share, like, you don't have to choose to do one thing, or society doesn't dictate you to do one thing. You can choose to do this or that and actually be able to excel in doing them all.
What do you think was the change that happened? Why do you think there has been a shift in more women going into strength training or even weightlifting, right?
Yeah.
What do you think the change was?
I think it was different things that came to play. I think it was not only social media sort of helping to amplify this positive image of women lifting and how empowering it is, but I think the ecosystem also supported it, especially locally in Singapore. So back then in the gyms, it used to be anti-powerlifting per se. There will be actually signs in the gym, on the gym walls, where they would go, oh, no powerlifting here. Because back then, I think people were just not informed. They were just not aware. And they assumed that all sorts of lifting were tagged to weightlifting, which can be dangerous, especially in a smaller commercial gym setting. I think, yeah, the ecosystem in Singapore is helping. I think the social media platforms are helping as well.
For sure.
Yeah, and I think that that's helping the whole situation.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And are there any additional changes that you hope to see in the public conversation around this issues and this topic?
You know what? If there's something I would like to see change, is perhaps to take the shift away from the physical or the aesthetic side of lifting. You know, right. There's so much more to it. And personally, for me, like, I value aesthetics. You know, I like seeing nice things. Everyone likes that, right? But I think if you keep chasing aesthetics, and especially for a female, like, I think the journey is endless, and it's very hard for you to feel fulfilled, because there's always something, someone or something who looks better than you, and you would never feel satisfied with yourself. But if we shift that to the more mental and psychological benefits of lifting, for example, you know, and more people talk about that or relish in that, I think that it can go even further, and I think it can benefit someone even more, because it's not just about lifting. I think it bleeds into life as well. And I think you learn a lot about yourself through lifting that you can sort of translate into your day-to-day life.
So you mentioned earlier that your husband was,
yeah,
or rather he played in a very important role, a big role in actually pushing you into going into powerlifting,
yeah,
right? And making it a competitive career.
Yeah.
Do you think that everyone needs that champion figure in their life to kind of support them through thick and thin, like what your husband did?
I think so, 100%. Like, I mean, to begin with, he was the one who created this Frankenstein, you know? Like, I'm obsessed with powerlifting now. Like, everything is centered around that. It used to be, it's funny because the tables have turned, right? Like, going on dates, it would center around his training. Now it centers around my training, my competitions. But that's the thing, like, I think it's very hard for you to excel and go far alone. You know, that's a quote. You can insert it here. I can't remember something about, what was it? Do you know, like, the one, if you want to go far, no, you can't. Oh. If you want to go far and you want to enjoy what you're doing, I don't think you can do it alone.
Mm.
And I think he has very much helped me realize that I need to enjoy what I'm doing as well. And being able to do what I want to do is a privilege. And, you know, so sometimes I catch myself complaining or whining, you know, about coaching or competing. I'm like, you know what? Like, me being able to do what I want to do, it's a blessing, it's a privilege.
Yeah.
And yes, I can complain and whine about it, but I need to remember that I chose this. No one pinned it on me. And I think that keeps me going.
But I mean, it's true, right? It applies to every single... It applies to different careers, right?
Yeah.
Whether you're a power lifter or you're an entrepreneur,
yeah,
if you want to do something and you want to find success, it's very difficult to actually do it alone.
Yeah,
you generally need to build a team, or you need, like,
exactly
a wide network of support, right?
Exactly.
A support,
yes exactly, that's it. I don't think we can thrive on our own. And I think it's the celebration also, you know, like, all my successes, like, my wins never feel like mine alone. It's the accumulation, is the culmination of everyone who sort of chipped in, and it really takes a whole village to create that moment. And when you celebrate, you don't celebrate alone. Like, there's like 30-40 people celebrating with you, and I think that's special.
Yeah, that's totally true.
Yeah.
So do you guys still work out together?
We do. It's funny, because I mentioned how tables have turned, I'm actually coaching him right now. So he used to program my training plans for me, but then we decided, I can't remember when even, but because it was a period where he was sort of plateauing, and I was wondering, like, you know, maybe with whatever knowledge that I had acquired, maybe it could be a good change of stimulus for him. And we're like, you know what, yeah, let's give it a go. And it's been rewarding, surprisingly.
Has any of your other family members been inspired to take up powerlifting as well?
Yeah, so my two sisters, actually. So my youngest sister took up powerlifting because I think she was sort of in that period, I think she was like 17 or 18, where she was struggling to find her identity. Mm. And she was getting bored of a lot of things around her. And I think powerlifting helped her overcome a bunch of mental health issues, actually, and sort of gave her purpose, found her footing, gave her reason to excel and to push. And I think it was a very systematic way to progress. And I think it gave her a sense of fulfillment. So I make it a point to sort of not influence my sisters to do anything. And honestly, they move by the beat of their own drums. We're very, very different. Contrary to what my parents think. So they don't listen to me, they don't follow me. But then somehow, like, I think they see how powerlifting has benefited me, and naturally they sort of took it on their own stride to try it out themselves and be like, oh, can you teach me how to do this and that?
You've actually talked publicly about feeling like you are the odd one out or even an outcast growing up. You had to deal with the pressures of attending a highly conformist girls' school.
Yeah.
And you also needed to sort of be like this perfect role model to your two younger sisters. How do you think you've evolved since then? And what's something that you know now that you wish you knew like 5 years ago or 10 years ago when you're first starting out?
I think I want to believe that everything happens for a reason. And I think if I didn't go through whatever I went through back then, I might not have certain clarity to certain things now. Thankfully, back then, I was pretty kind to myself, I think. You know, I wasn't so stressed up about conforming. I was just very aware that I was a little odd one out. I would be the only girl among all the boys because somehow I wanted to play soccer and the rest of the girls didn't. Or I ended up being the only Malay girl in my class because, I don't know, probably I was the only Malay nerd in the school or something, you know, because I loved studying. I actually relished in academia. So there were moments where, like, oh, why am I the only one here and this and that? And I think it was okay for me, but it wasn't until people started pointing it out. Like, hey, you're the only girl here. You're the only Malay girl here and this and that. And for me, since young, I would bat things off with humor. And that was just my coping mechanism. And I think that helped to not sort of crumble in social situations. But yeah, if I could tell myself back then was that, you know, you're on your own journey. And it's okay to be the odd one because you're going to continue moving against the grain. You're going to continue to move to the beat on your own drums. And that's okay because sometimes that means that you are blazing trails for others.
So do you feel like now that you've sort of established yourself as a professional athlete, right? Obviously, there's still room for you to grow.
Yeah.
But do you think you will ever take your success as an athlete or like a coach or a referee to look into launching your own business?
Possibly. I would think so. I was talking to my husband about it. And I think it was going through uni where I learned the importance of working smart and not working hard, you know? And I think the older we get, eventually, everyone wants money to work for them, right? So we need to find a way to make this sustainable. And so what we're doing actually is, because I was part of a coaching team, so I'm branching out on my own this time around, sort of creating my own brand. And I think that's special and crucial for me to sort of build something I stand by. And that's something that we are planning to launch in the next few weeks or months to come. And so stay tuned for that, I guess.
So you're going to be running your own business, but also competing at the same time.
That's right.
Amazing. Okay.
We'll see how far that goes.
And is your competitive side of your career, is that ramping up as well?
I believe so. I think standards, again, like I mentioned, standards are getting higher and higher, but I think that is the very stimulus, the very drive for me to want to do more. And I think that's why my numbers are going up also, is because I'm getting all this pressure, everyone's nipping me on the tail, and I like that. I like the challenge, you know. I like, basically going head-to-head with people. The goal eventually is to not just get world records, but to also to podium on the world level and sort of put our tiny red dot, you know, on the map and show the world that we're not just only good in math, you know, we can be good in whatever we set ourselves to do. So I think that is the goal moving forward.
So let's talk about that. What would be your ultimate goal? Like, if you could name one thing,
yeah,
what would be the dream or the goal that you want to achieve? And then you'll be happy to retire.
You know what? I keep joking about this and I keep mentioning it during interviews, but I would love to compete at 70. Like on a world level, probably, you know, with my grandkids in the stands and be like, that's my grandma, she's freaking crazy. She can lift more than that's you, amazing. You know? Yeah, and all the grandma jokes are coming up. I love it. I want it. And I keep talking about it, but the more I mention it, the more I want it. And I'm actually seeing it being possible, you know, and because I want to show people that it's powerlifting is really a sport for all, and that you can keep doing it well into your silver senior years, you know, and I want to show that, you know, you choosing to prioritize your health, it's not vanity, it's not a superficial thing, and I think it's important to respect this body, this vessel that will carry you throughout your life. And so that's me. Like, it sounds like a very superficial goal, but I want to be competitive until I'm 70 with grandkids.
But there's nothing to, yeah. There's nothing wrong with being a little bit superficial or self-serving, right?
Right?
I think sometimes we need to think about ourselves.
I think so. Yeah. I don't know. Is it an Asian thing to not like, do not embrace that fully and be like, you know, am I being selfish? Like, I actually question myself sometimes. Like, say, for example, during competitions where I'm competing and I have maybe four of my other athletes competing. Like, I feel the need to prioritize them. And when I get this, and when I can't switch off that coach sort of gear, I just cannot dial back into my athlete point of view. Like, I always feel the need to serve others first. But I think I'm learning to be like, you know what? No, it's okay to just kind of focus on yourself. Like, there's James now to help you with things and everyone else capable. So I'm learning to be a little more, self-centered is not the right word for this, right?
We can go with selfish.
Yeah, selfish. Say, like, it's okay to be selfish,
it's
right?
It's okay to be selfish once in a while. Yeah,
yeah, you're right.
Right? Okay, so our listeners are not only interested in leveling up their business, because a lot of them are entrepreneurs, young leaders,
right,
but also their personal and lifestyle side of things. So as one of Singapore's strongest women,
that's heavy. That's a heavy term.
What lifestyle tips can you give to our listeners? And is strength training actually for everyone?
I do believe so. Like, I really genuinely believe so. And I don't think it's too late for anyone to start. And you don't have to be crazy and lift obscene amounts of weight. Like, start small, play the long game with it. But the number one thing I always tell my athletes is that whatever you eat, whatever you put into your body, it's like an investment to your future as well. So I'm very mindful. Maybe it's like my pharmacist background, you know, like checking the back label of things. And if there are components in there where I can't pronounce, there are too many numbers in between the words, like, you should start questioning. Yeah, exactly. So I think whatever you put into your body, whatever you drink, whatever you eat, whatever you inhale, like, it goes a long way. You may not see it now, but you would pay for it later. You don't have to be a top level athlete to invest in your nutrition, for example, you know, and nutrition doesn't have to be hefty, it doesn't have to be expensive as well. Like, simplify your routine, simplify your habits, and I think decluttering your life and simplifying everything, it makes life a little easier.
What would you say is your priority now for your own lifestyle?
Sleep. Yeah, like, you know, I used to be that overachieving Singaporean who'd be like, oh, I can just run on 4 hours of sleep. I am so optimized. Like, who needs more than 4 hours? Like, you're wasting time if you're sleeping more than 4 hours. But no, man, I eat my own words now. Like, 8 to 10 hours is non-negotiable for me. Like, I think not for just physical not for my physical body as well during training, but I think mental clarity as well, the emotional side of things. I'm definitely less cranky of a person, and I hope my husband is grateful for that when I get my 8 to 10 hours of sleep. But sleep is so important. Never feel like you are overindulging when you're letting yourself rest.
That's amazing. I think a lot of entrepreneurs also probably need to listen to this, right? Sleep is probably one of the most important, if not the most important thing to do. So talking about not knowing what you don't know, right?
Yeah.
So this show is all about uncovering unexpected stories of people that we speak to that not many people might know about. So facts that people might not know about.
Yeah.
What do people not know about you or often find surprising about you or your journey?
Well, I was never really a fan of metal, actually. Like, you know, coins or even like metal water bottles. You know that metallic smell? Yeah. I actually really hate it, but it's ironic because my whole life centers around the bar now.
Right.
You know, like there's always that metallic smell. And I used to hate it so much. I would wash my hand after every set or rep or something like that, but I fully embraced it now. So I really, really hate that metallic smell. I would never accept coins if possible. Like, no, keep the change. Or so I can just leave it there. Someone will take it or something. I used to absolutely hate it. But now, yeah, it's ironic. Like, my dad laughs about it because he shares the same. I don't even know if it's type of phobia, but it can't be now. It's my profession.
And you've come to like it?
I think I block it out. Okay. Yeah, it's such a trauma, I think. I just switch it out. I'm like, okay, no, I'm fine. I'll be okay. I'll live. Yeah, so that's an odd quirk. Yeah.
It's a random fact that I really like. Yeah, okay. Because it's part of your, I mean, it's something that you lived every single day,
and
right?
I can't run away from it.
Yeah.
At all. So it's something I've grown to embrace. Yeah.
So coming up to the last few questions that we have for you. So you would be considered a successful person, right? A successful athlete. And lots of people, I would say, would want to reach your level of success or are looking up to you as their role models, but don't necessarily get the chance or maybe even the opportunities to actually reach your level of success. How do you think you've got to where you are today?
You know what? I think it was a series of unfortunate events that sort of led to this fortunate event. And I think it wasn't only just my hard work per se. I feel like what I've done is, I really don't think what I've done is remarkable. And I think that another person is able to replicate it. But it's whether the person has the same level of commitment or even stubbornness. I don't know if anyone is as stubborn as I am. You know, I think my mom can vouch for that. But I think being that stubborn and committed to a cause can take you really far. And I think that makes or breaks a person. But also, I think I've just been blessed with opportunities that have presented themselves, and it sort of turned into one, it's like a black hole, and I emerged into another black hole, and they've been very rewarding experiences. So I think it was just a combination of me doing my thing, being stubborn about wanting to keep pushing things, having opportunities present itself, and sort of taking them all and not saying no, and just sort of rise to every occasion I can, accepting every challenge. And I think having a strong support system to surround me was very crucial. And I was one who liked having many friends. But, you know, since pursuing my powerlifting journey, it can be quite isolating because not everyone shared the same purpose, shared the same vision. And so naturally, like, some friends will fall off. And it was just a natural sort of drift, right, that happens. But I've learned to embrace that it's fine. Like, you know, you grow old, everyone does their own things, and your old friends will find ways to support you. And it's so crucial to have that support system that is really tight-knitted as well for you.
So if there was one takeaway or an insight that our listeners can take away from today, what would it be? What would you say?
That's many. But I think it would be progress over perfection. Like I've mentioned, it's good to chase perfection, it's good to pursue it, but I think it is also crucial to take every little progress into account and sort of embrace it and celebrate it. And it's because you celebrate all these small little progresses that you can actually build momentum and build trajectory towards something greater. And it's always overwhelming to think of that end goal, that big picture, but it's much smaller to scale things down and sort of set smaller milestone goals. And I think that would be it would be important to play the long game for everyone.
Well, thank you so much, Farhana, for joining us on Crazy Smart Asia. It's been a great conversation.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
That's it for yet another episode of Crazy Smart Asia. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to follow us wherever you're listening to this. Crazy Smart Asia is produced by Josie Kota and edited, mixed, and mastered by Ben Beheshti. Genty's digital editor is Valerie Lim. Crazy Smart Asia is hosted by me, Chong Xiao Wei. In the meantime, do remember,
if you want to go far and you want to enjoy what you're doing, I don't think you can do it alone.
See you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.